Sometimes you can see through them. Sometimes you can't see through them. This is an airport. That happens to be one of my favorite fences. I love to fly airplanes. Sometimes you can't see them through them at all. They're not transparent. Sometimes fences are small. Some are huge fences, more like fortresses. There's the Great Wall of China. That's a fence, for lack of a better word. They probably wouldn't like their wall to be called a fence, but for practical purposes, that's what it is, isn't it? And fences are designed for two purposes, either to keep people in or to keep people out, right? That's what fences are designed for. When Jason was growing up, we had a fence. Our backyard had a fence. It was surrounded the perimeter of our yard. We lived in Sarasota, Florida, and he was a wee little guy. And in that fence, our front yard was really, really nice. We had this pineapple palm. You ever heard of a pineapple palm? Probably not in New York. It looks like a pineapple. It's got a beautiful trunk on it, a gorgeous trunk. And it was right, that was the centerpiece. And then we had royal palms going all the way around our driveway. And there, you know, McGregor Boulevard's known. Edison planted the royal palms up and down McGregor Boulevard. And they're absolutely gorgeous. Well, we had little royal palms up and down our driveway. The front yard was pristine. The grass was perfect. We had the lawn guy mow it a little bit thicker than the rest of the yard because, you know, you want that cushy feel in the grass. And the front yard was pristine. It's what we wanted everybody to see. It was neatly cut. We had nice flower beds and a nice circular driveway that went around our front yard. It looked like the cover of a real estate magazine, really. I mean, it was Better Homes and Gardens. We could have been there. On the other side of the fence, though, that was a different story. The grass was cut, maybe not quite as often, but it was cut. The toys, Jason's toys, they were not neatly put away, you can imagine. They were kind of everywhere. We had a swing set back there. We had a sandbox. He had this cool little sandbox that had it was a turtle, and it had a shell that you put on. You've seen those. And of course, that was absolutely everywhere, and all the toys were everywhere, and we were lucky if the cover was on. We had a grill and a picnic table back there, so we could eat meals back there if we wanted to. Later on, we had a dog, and there was dog stuff back there, and you had to watch where you stepped. That was the backyard. That's where we lived. That was not like the front yard. That was different. The fence was the separation between the two, between the front yard and the backyard, between the two spaces. It was the barrier between the front, which everyone was allowed to see, and the back is where we lived. So we're continuing the I Love My Church series, and this concept of the fence is going to play a big part in what we talk about this morning. God, as we'll see today, one of God's plans for the church is that we live connected lives together. God wants us to live connected with Him, connected with one another. God wants us to know true community. That's what He wants for our lives. So what do fences have to do with that? That's what we're going to talk about today. All right, so let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. That's all the way in the back. If you have the Bible there at your seats, it's page 1068, 1068. Hebrews chapter 10. It's almost a Revelation. A real kind of 12 chapters, but they're small chapters, so it's easy to miss. Hebrews chapter 10, and starting at verse 19. Hebrews 10, 19, 1068. It says, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, His flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day, capital D, capital day there, drawing near, approaching in some translations. Before I unpack these verses today, let us go back to our fences for just a moment this morning. Let's picture our lives as a yard, as the yard of our house, our lives instead. If we were honest with ourselves this morning, we all like fences in our yards, don't we? Especially in our lives. And what we're comfortable showing people and letting people get to know about us is our front yard of our lives. We like to keep that pristine lawn for people to see. We like to keep that aura about us that everything's in order and everything's just fine. The lawn nicely manicured, the beautiful grass, the nice welcome mat by the front door for decorative purposes only, mind you. You know what I'm talking about. The front yard is the place we like to show. But the backyard of our lives is different, isn't it? That's the real us. And getting in there is by invitation only. In fact, I'm going to build a fence because I'm not quite sure I want you in my backyard. Right? That's why we put them up. I don't want you to see the parts of my life that aren't so orderly, that aren't so neat, that aren't pristine. I have an image to protect, right? I don't want you to step into the dog piles, you know, those messes in my life that I need to take care of. I'm not sure that we can have a meal together because can I trust you maybe is going on there. The backyard is private. The backyard is me. That's who I really am. So everything in the front yard of the house is perfectly presented. But the back of the house, behind the fence, this is where the true us resides. This is the yard of our lives. Now here's the deal about fences. God isn't a big fan of fences. Now before you take that literally, don't go home because the pastor said God isn't a fan of fences and get a sledgehammer and start knocking your fences down when you get home, right? That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about today is spirit. What we're talking about is an illustration. But as far as being in relationship with Him and being in community with one another is concerned, God wants us to rethink our fences. He really does. If you turn in your sermon notes, it's the page after the calendar and the bulletin in the program, you'll see that if we intend to love our church the way God wants us to, then we have to know that Jesus has crashed the fence. We have to believe that. He tore the fence down between us. In Hebrews, in our scripture today, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You see, in the Old Testament, they went through rituals. You probably knew that if you've been in church at any time at all. Maybe you didn't know that. It's okay. We're glad you're here today. And the priest would offer a blood sacrifice, a sheep, a goat, a lamb of something. And it had to be without defect. And that was a picture of the Messiah that was to come. And they would take that blood and they would sprinkle it on the altar. And they would put it in various places. And that was to cleanse and sanctify the different things that they were doing. And in a symbolic way, they were sprinkling that blood to get atonement for their sins. And so that's what this verses relating back to. It's written to the Jews, and he's showing them that what Jesus did was what they were doing in the Old Testament symbolically, looking forward to Christ. And His blood was sprinkled on our hearts to cleanse our evil conscience and to make a way, to take the veil down and make a way that we could enter the place and have those fences torn down. The author is talking about the fact that because of Jesus, we now have a way to come back to God. Now, because Jesus is our great high priest, He crashed the fence. He smashed the fence. He took the fence down and he tore it aside and it's obliterated. I'm well built. I can't smash that fence too easily. And he took that fence and he moved it aside, and now we have a complete open relationship with God the Father through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He obliterated the veil that stood before us, the fence, the wall that was between us and God called sin. It separated us, and now we're able to confidently enter. And that's one of the greatest words in Hebrews. We don't have to be sheepishly going into the presence of God because Jesus has torn down the wall, because He's torn down the fence. We can enter into the throne room of God with confidence, with great confidence. Not because we walked 10 ladies across the street, not because we knitted some blankets or fed the poor or did some wonderful things, because all of our sin would still keep us out. We can't make up for the wrong that we've done. But simply because Jesus died on the cross for our sin and He paid the penalty for all of our sins are washed away, cleansed, forgotten, put in the deepest part of the ocean, never to be remembered again. And He obliterated that wall that stood between us. He smashed the fence. Romans makes this clear. It helps bring out the Hebrews passage in Romans 3:23. These are in your notes here, and I kind of changed the word sin for fence. You can connect the dots here. Romans 3:23. We all have a giant fence, don't we? We all have sin to deal with, right? We've all broken God's laws, the stealing, the lying, the sexual immorality, the coveting, all the Ten Commandments, right? Romans 6:23, because of that fence, we can never get to God on our own. That's what that verse says. Romans 5:8, God knew that we had a giant fence before we even knew we had a yard. He knew that, right? And then Romans 10:8, 9, and 10 says, if we admit that we have a fence, if we admit we have sin that we got to deal with, and we turn to Him and ask Him to help us with that, that He'll take care of the fence for us. It's not something we can even do for ourselves. And Romans 10:13 tells us that God never, Jesus never denies a fence crashing job. He always takes care of every fence that somebody brings to Him. Isn't that cool? Now, I got to tell you, we're born fence builders. That's what we're born as. Walls. We're born with walls. We're born with structures designed to hide and protect and confine who we really are in life. To keep us separated from God, we like our walls. We're born into sin. The first fence was erected before we even came out of the chute there. it keeps us without true community. And it's only when we admit our failing, when we admit our sins, we accept what Jesus Christ alone has done on the cross, that we can get our fence taken care of. There's no other way to get our fences taken care of. So have you ever drawn near to God? Have you ever asked God to take care of your sin through Jesus Christ? Have you asked Him to get that fence out of the way so you can have an open relationship with Him? It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but it does mean that He died once and for all sin. That's the next chapter in Hebrews. All of our sin has been taken care of. Well, I want to invite you to do that today if you haven't asked Jesus into your life. If that's something that you haven't taken that step, I want to say today is a great day to do that. Today's a great day to come to Him and say, God, I need help with my sin. And I know that I can't do it on myself. And the Bible says if you believe in your heart, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And that's all it takes. Trust Jesus Christ. Repent of your sin. Place your trust in Jesus Christ alone. Not in your fence anymore. Not the security of the fence, but the security of the Savior. So once we do that, then the next step that God wants us to take is to allow others into our yard. That's what He wants us to do. We come to this building. We sing songs. Don't you love worship? Worship was just really great this morning. We play games upstairs with the kids, and they're all centered around the lesson that they're studying today. Sometimes we eat. That's not a true statement, is it? Just about every time we meet at this church, we have something to eat. Little cupcakes with hearts on them today because I love my church series, right? And that's the point of that this morning. As sometimes we say good morning to each other and fellowship with one another, but unfortunately we seem to always do it behind the fence, don't we? We seem to. You might be thinking, but I thought you just said Jesus broke down the fence. He did. He did break down the fence. For every single one that believes that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sin and have asked Him and placed their trust in Him, He's torn that wall down once and for all. That fence is gone. And He made a way for you to be with God. So how does that impact people? How does that impact the church and our relationships? The community of faith that we find ourselves in here today. Imagine all of us standing before the fence of sin. And it just comes tumbling down when Jesus dies on the cross. It's just obliterated, like the Great Wall of China, immovable, seen from space. But it just comes crashing down around us when we believe Christ. And when you draw near to God, you become His follower, there's no longer any fences. And there shouldn't be any fences in our life, in the spiritual sense of our lives. There shouldn't be. But what do we do? What we do as a people, what we do as a church, what we do in our relationships with each other is, unfortunately, the fences that have been torn down, we start to put back up. Not between us and God. That fence is obliterated. It can't even be restored, really. But the fences in our lives with other people, we go, oh, I'm not sure about that person, and maybe I'll just get that fence built back up over here. Oh, maybe I'll make it a little taller. Yeah, that's over here. Then they can't see that area. Okay, we're good. So even though Jesus crashed our fence, we still want people to only see the parts of our lives that we want them to see. The pristine, pretty, Better Homes and Gardens area, right? That's what we want them to see. We don't want them to see our laundry clean or dirty on the clothesline. You know, sometimes you put non-decent clothes on back there, right? On the laundry line, and that's not good for people to see. We certainly want to keep those walls up for that, and we want to be very careful, put very careful tabs on the parts of our estate that people are allowed to walk on. We are really good at building fences, aren't we? Yet, don't forget what we said last week. If we are going to truly experience loving our church, then it means intentionally loving our church. Not by accident, but reaching out on purpose. That is not loving the building. That's not loving the programs of the church. Those aren't the church. You are the church. I am the church. The people are the church. Take the buildings away. Take the programs away. Take the postcards you get in the mail away. Take all of that away. And we meet together. We still have the body of Christ. We still have the church. If we intentionally love the church, that means intentionally loving each other. And loving each other is impossible to do from behind the fence. Just isn't possible. So what do? With all the fences we've erected, myself included, It's hard to truly know and love each other, but thank goodness the writer of Hebrews gives us the perfect prescription for dealing with offenses. Look in your Bibles. I think it's verse 25. Do not forsake assembling together. Now, I looked it up. 114 times the word church is mentioned in the Bible. Ecclesia. Four of those times is what? The universal body of believers, right? The rapture of the church. All those times when he mentions the whole church, something happening to the entire church. 100 times in the Bible, it's talking about an individual body of believers like South Bay Bible Church. So that's primarily what he's talking about here. It's the passage, this passage, do not forsake assembling together. Do not forsake meeting together, as some of you are in the habit of doing. It's the passage that preachers have used for years, including myself, in talking and guilting their congregation to make sure you're here every single Sunday. Right? And in reality, the author is talking about that for sure. There's certainly that's the application. But it's talking about more than that. It's talking about the everyday community of the saints. Everyday meeting together, not just on Sunday, but having that relationship, that fellowship, that community one with another. It goes beyond just the Sunday morning environment. Community doesn't mean we don't build fences. Community means that we head below the surface areas of our lives. Community means hanging out in someone's backyard. Community means authenticity, the sharing of ourselves, our real selves, with other people. Community means deeper relationships than we have sitting in chairs in rows, as wonderful it is coming on Sunday and worshiping together and praying together, hearing the Word expounded and having a cupcake with a heart on it this morning. As wonderful as all of that is, this is going beyond that. Community is standing in someone's yard and allowing them to stand in mine. Both of our dirty, stinking, unkept yards with toys thrown all over, with a sandbox all torn apart, with the weeds not pulled, and the shed that desperately needs painting. It's being and hanging out with each other in the real us. You may or may not remember the television show Home Improvement with Tim Allen. Do you remember that show? Right? Tim Allen had a neighbor called Wilson. Here's Wilson right there. How do you like Wilson? See him on the screen? So Wilson, we hardly ever saw his face, did we? I only think I saw Wilson's face on a talk show. I'm not sure I ever saw it on the show. He was always behind the fence. And even if he was outside of his fence, he had something, a newspaper or something, that was covering his face. And the Taylors lived next to him for years, and sometimes it's like that for church folks, isn't it? We sit with people at church. We may serve in a ministry together. We may go to a community group with them, a Bible study. We may come on Wednesday night, but we never see their whole face. We get a glimpse of them from behind their fences. They may pop out every once in a while, right? But James Doe is standing on the other side of his fence. Maybe we see his face, maybe we don't. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day, because there's still a fence between us. I can't embrace him when there's a family tragedy. How can I hug him with around the fence? He can't really see what's happening in my yard because he's on the other side of his fence. When I have a spat with my wife, of course, we want to keep that private, right? This fence impedes community. It impedes relationships. It's really hard to really get to know someone behind their fence. We don't really know that much about Wilson, except he was a really smart guy, right? I think that was evident. So, verse 25, not forsaking our assembling together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Whose yard are you in? Who are you allowing to come into your yard? Maybe this takes place through community group opportunities. Hopefully it does. That's the kind of the purpose of community groups, is to spend time with people and get real with people. Maybe you're part of our women's ministry or men's ministry and you've been able to share there, and those connections are absolutely incredible. Or possibly you've allowed a few people into your yard and maybe you're making those connections. And I praise God for every single one of you of taking those steps. Maybe it's not any formal ministry of the church, and that's wonderful. But I want to talk to you today about a couple of opportunities, and I put them in your bulletin this morning. It's all the loose leaf papers beside the communication card. One is community groups. We have community group opportunities. This is the design of community groups, is to really get familiar with other people, to live life connected. That's what community groups are all about. And on the back of that are some community groups that you can get connected in. But there's another one here. And there's another one starting the Monday night after Easter. So March 28th. And you got a postcard in there, a little informational card, rather. You can't really mail this one. And it's a conversation about faith. And this is a community group that we're starting to help people that are new to the faith or returning to the church, or they're just kind of want to check. They don't even have any faith yet. They just want to check out the Jesus God church thing and see how they might fit in. This is for them. And listen, this is a great place. If you're unsure where to start, this is a great couple of weeks to get connected and find out where you want to be. So just, you have to make a reservation for this one. You do that online. There's information on this sheet. And you go there because space is limited, and you can sign up for that. We encourage you to do that. And we can help you start tearing down some of those fences in your life in a very non-threatening way. And so we want to give you those opportunities. Now, a special attention to introverts. You probably didn't know this about me, but I'm not a real extrovert. I have to really work at being outgoing. And you probably didn't know that about me. A lot of people are surprised to hear that. But it's true. I'm much more comfortable sitting in my chair at home and hanging out and sending people out for things. And I would be good with that. I would be good with that. But if we're truly going to experience not only the church, but also life as God intended it to be, then we can't live behind the fence, even if we're an introvert. And this is really hard for us. It's really hard for me to tear those fences down. To truly love your church is to love someone in your church. This doesn't mean, introverts, this is for me too, this doesn't mean for us, that everyone transforms into super social extroverts. You know, when we were parked picking up the kids from school, we had those social butterflies that just kind of went from car to car. That's what Kim and I call them. We are social butterflies. We would never be a social butterfly like that, ever. It doesn't mean that. But it does mean that you choose not to live in isolation. So introverts, I want to speak to you about that. You got to step out. I know it's tough. It's tough for me. But listen, the rewards are so good because God never, ever meant for you to live life alone. He just didn't. And I know there's a chance you might get hurt. I know that there's trust issues that come up, and you've been hurt in the past so many different ways and times, and people have said dumb stuff to you. But listen, we're human and we're going to mess up, and you're going to get hurt again, and it's going to happen in church, and it might be the pastor that upsets you. You know, I forget to say hi to you or something. I don't know. But listen, it's going to happen because we're human and we're frail. We're not Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus and learn to love people like He wants you to love them. And you'll grow in your faith as a result, even through those hurts. And that's really important. God never meant for you to be alone. As Ellen said in the beginning, 6 days of creation, God said it's good. The sixth day was really good. You know, He was excited about that day. And then He said, when Adam was created, He named all the animals, and there wasn't one found suitable for companionship with Adam. As wonderful as all the animals had to have been, He said, oh, this isn't good. Imagine, God made creation. Everything's perfect. But it wasn't good for man to be alone. So he created Eve. And now he had companionship. But that goes beyond just marriage. As wonderful as marriage is, guys, we need guy companions. Girls, you need girl companions. We need to hang out and have that fellowship. We're not meant to live life alone. And we isolate ourselves. What's the natural thing that happens there? Depression? Anxiety? More worries? When we can share it, we can talk it through with somebody. And I'm not talking about psychotherapy. No, I'm just talking about a loving friendship with somebody close. You can jump over that so much faster. We were never meant to live life alone, especially this Christian life. So community is standing in someone's yard. It means you stand in someone else's yard. And the third point this morning, you enjoy the company. You enjoy the company, right? Imagine being a kid going to a birthday party where they didn't plan anything. They had a half-eaten bag of potato chips, some weak Kool-Aid, no games, no presents, no desserts, no face painting, no pin the tail on the donkey, no nothing. You would walk away from that going, they didn't even try. Hebrews verse 24 today that we're talking about, 10:24, says, let us consider, listen carefully, how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. To consider is to contemplate, is to strategize. That's our part of that. Think about this as planning for a successful birthday party. Living life in someone else's yard without fences is going to take intentionality. It's going to take strategy. We're going to have to think about how to navigate that. Community is finding ways to encourage one another in love and good deeds beyond church programming, beyond Sunday sermons, beyond sitting in rows. It's going to make us get in circles and talk with each other. It's seeing beyond the walls and fences that have been built up and offering to go help paint the shed that desperately needs painting. It's going to be going into someone's yard and helping them pull the weeds and getting some flowers planted in the backyard. It's going to be having some go-to numbers when you're broke down on the Long Island Expressway and you desperately want to get home that night. It's going to be taking, knowing who to call when you and your wife just need to get out on a double date because you need some companionship. It's inviting someone over for dinner. It's teaming up when we have a church service project and you want to serve Jesus together with someone else. It's working alongside friends. It's enjoying one another. It's helping others enjoy serving Jesus in the time that we have left to serve, according to the writer of Hebrews. And the thing is, these things do not happen automatically, ever. They happen when we consider how, when we think about how we can do them. Let me suggest some points for us to consider this morning in this area. It's in your notes. Have healthy expectations. And I want to contrast this one with an unhealthy expectation. An unhealthy expectation is that we all know everyone, that we're super friends, best friends with every single person in the congregation, that every single person will be best friends with everyone else in here. That is not realistic. That is not going to happen. A healthy expectation is that I can build a great friendship, a great connection, a friendship with some, and a deep relationship with a few. Not maybe with everybody, but with a few. And let's begin with this. How about one new friendship this month? You think you can take someone you don't know in the church and see if it's a connection and just maybe ask them to dinner or talk to them or have them over to the house or reach out to them. And maybe they'll be a little amazed. I mean, they've seen you in church or they haven't seen you in church for a while and you reach out to them and you just connect. One new friendship this month. Can we do that? I think we can do that, can't we? And next one is to realize that baby steps are okay. I love this one because little steps take us a long way over a period of time. So let's be clear. Living without fences does not mean that we're going to let every single person into the more personal parts of our lives the first day we meet them. That's silly, right? That's going to lead to a lot of pain in our life, isn't it? That's not what we're talking about here. That's not the goal of this message. I don't think that's even what God intends for us to do. Baby steps are okay. We can invite that person into our living room, maybe to the front porch first, then maybe into our living room. We connect with them there. Maybe we'll share a meal and get to talk to them in our kitchen a little bit. And then maybe we'll take them in the backyard and share a meal and test things out and see what we can trust them with, right? Baby steps are okay in this process. You won't let everyone in. You don't need to let every single person in. But you need to work toward letting someone in. It's so important. Let me make the point that forming a new close relationship over the next couple of months. Let's really work on that. The next thing is to take ownership. Realize this is everyone's job, not everyone else's job. Can we do that? If you're sitting down waiting for someone to come over to you, can I just suggest that you're sitting in the wrong seat? That's not what God intends. He wants us all to be proactive in tearing down the fences of our life. On a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest, how much effort are you putting into connecting with other people? What if for the next couple of months, what for the next couple of weeks rather, what if, let's say you're a 5, what would it take to move you from a 5 to a 6 or 7? What would that look like in your life? Do you think you could take that step in reaching out towards someone else? That would be a good thing to do. Can you imagine what would happen in our church? Can you imagine what would happen in our community if we would have those healthy expectations and seek to build one new friendship maybe every couple of months? What would that look like? What would our church look like after a year? If we had a community in which we built maybe one close personal connection, one great friend that we had managed to tear the walls down on, with just one or two people a year, we developed a new, close, personal friend that they could have community with and we could have community with them. Maybe it's in a community group. Maybe it's in an informal, non-ministry environment. You just did that on your own. What would that look like? What would our church transform into? I think this community would start to see our church in the way that God intended our church to be seen. Already people, there's a buzz around our community about our church, how we love them. They need to see how we love each other when they come here. We already love each other in so many different ways. I can brag about you on that. We need to make sure everybody's connected. There's still some folks that aren't connected in that way. But we can. We can tear those walls down and help them feel the love of Christ and not the fence. Right? That's what we want for them. So as you leave this morning, we want to know that Jesus has crashed the fence for us. We want to allow someone into our yard. We want to enjoy the company. And we want to consider how you can be connected with others for encouragement and growth. And that's what the message is about today. Lord God, we love you today. We praise you. You are our God and we are your people. And we're so glad that love crashes fences, that love shatters the fence. And thank you, Jesus, for shattering the fence between us and God through your blood and your offering yourself up on the cross of Calvary. And Lord, now let us take that love and learn to love others just as Christ loved us, Ephesians 5, and start tearing our fences down and allowing ourselves to be vulnerable to a few other people, Lord. To pour into their lives and let them pour into our lives. To build friendships and connections that glorify God in the heavenly realms in the Church of Jesus Christ in our community with one another. And Lord, we pray for all of that in the name of Jesus. And now, God, we ask for anyone here today that didn't came into this sanctuary and didn't know for sure if they died today, they'd go to heaven. But Lord, they heard how Jesus crashed the fence. And Lord, they feel in their heart now, Lord, that they understand that we broke the law, that we've sinned, and we all had this sin fence erected. And that if we will place our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, He will obliterate the fence and make it so we can have that relationship with God the Father again. I pray, Lord, for anyone here that came in today not sure and confident of their salvation, that, Lord, You would help them grow in that and know that. Help them confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God raised Him from the dead and they will be saved. Help them have that confidence today. In Jesus' name, amen. On your communication card, there's some next steps that you might want to take there. And then on the right-hand side is two boxes. Today I trusted Jesus for the first time in my life, and today I recommitted my life. If that's you, mark that. We'll make sure we get a Bible study, a New Believer's Packet out to you this week. That'll help you in your walk with Christ. And we just want to leave that with you because we'd love to walk with you in that. We'll take and turn in our community communication cards here in just a moment as the ushers come, so you can make sure those are filled out. And I want to remind you that today is Mission Sunday. We help three missionaries. We help Josiah Maddox, the Child Evangelism Fellowship. We've seen 15 kids come to Christ in our local elementary school through this ministry this year. So we praise God for that. Josiah does all the schools in overseas, all the Good News Clubs in Brooklyn and Queens and that area. So he does a great work and we support him. A third of our offering goes there. A third of our offering goes to Teen Challenge, which is a great ministry. It's 86% success rate on people that check in there that get off drugs. So we bless them with a third of our missions offering. And a third of it goes toward Kenan Ann Howe, which helps Wycliffe Bible Translate.